And I want to speak this morning from the book of Matthew in chapter number 10. And in this chapter, the thing that I want to do is to exhort us from the scriptures to preach and teach the gospel of God's grace boldly and without fear. These things that we have been talking about these last few days are important and they are rare. It is rare to hear them in our churches. So when we go into our churches and preach the gospel or talk unto our neighbors on our farm or our business, is we're going to be challenged over preaching this gospel. We may be fired from our job. I've had some persecution over this gospel. I've been asked to leave from churches. I've had to leave from other churches. And taking a stand for Christ is a matter of courage that comes from God. It's in the fear of God. It's in the love of God. So that is dealt with in this chapter. And I cannot think of any better word to give you as I depart than this Matthew 10. And so we'll open it and I'll read it and it will make comments as I go. And when he had called his 12 disciples, let me open first in prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for this gospel of your grace. Your grace, God's grace. That's what we have heard this morning. As the brother talked about grace, he prayed about grace, and we preach grace. And we want you to bless us. This is an opportunity for you to do mightily, to take your word, speak into our hearts, and change us and transform us. Make us useful into your kingdom. And for your glory, we pray that you would have all of the glory, the honor, and the praise in our hearts. That we really see it is all you. And we live for grace to be glorified. We live indebted unto you. And thankful unto you. And happy. As the brother said earlier this morning, the joy of service, the privilege of service. Help us to face our challenges for Christ's sake. Help us to be bold. Amen. Amen. And so Matthew 10, let's read down. I'll start at verse 1. We'll read down to verse number 4 for our first point. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, our Lord Jesus, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to preach this gospel with power, and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. That's what me and you do now spiritually by the preaching of the gospel. It's an unchanged life means that people have not heard. Now the names of the 12 apostles, they are these. First Simon, who is called Peter. He was their leader. And Andrew is his brother. And James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. It ran in families. and Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. It saved the chiefest of sinners. And James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddaeus. He's not much known, but he's there. Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And that's our subject as we continue in this text. A betrayal is part of the gospel. And you and I are going to be betrayed over preaching the gospel. There will be people that we try to help that will not be helped, but will stab us in the back. And we have to become accustomed to it. Is we have to have broad shoulders by taking these things unto the grace of God. We have to be strong in grace. The trials that are coming upon us for preaching the gospel are extreme, and they are more than flesh and blood can handle. It is above our power. It is above our pay grade what we have to go through to preach Christ. But when me and you rely upon God, I'll quote you this from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. You therefore, my son, be strong, how? In the grace that's in Christ Jesus. If we are to go unto God for more grace, for Him to make us happy. As you remember, after the apostles were persecuted in Acts 5 and were beaten, and they went away rejoicing that they had suffered shame for His name. That's the power that God gives us if we rejoice in grace, the salvation of our soul, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So we're truly rejoicing in things that can't be seen. Just the privilege to serve Him. That who are we, poor sinners, to have the privilege of serving God? He saved us by grace. He elected us, as we heard yesterday. He chose us. He brought us into the kingdom. He did everything. He redeemed us. He died for us with His blood. He made us a special people of His own. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. But you are a chosen generation. As I've heard this song when I first came into Nigeria. As I'm walking in power, I'm walking in victory, I live a life of favor, because I know who I... It was a blast. But the words are true. You're a chosen generation, an offspring of God that He chose to make Himself. It was not you and I that did this. This was grace, special grace, that He doesn't give to everybody. He gives to His elect, a chosen generation, and a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. That's what we are. He redeemed us with His blood Himself. He chose us for salvation, then He brought it to pass. He saved us from hell by paying with His own blood. He did that. That you may proclaim, just by who you are, the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so now, being called out of darkness, let's suffer for the gospel. The Apostle Paul said, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. That's Philippians 3. Verse number 10. Here is his ambition, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's a good thing. And the fellowship of his sufferings. I don't only want the good things of the gospel. I don't only want the sweet things. I want the bitter herbs too. At the eating of the Passover, it was three things that you had to eat, and the scripture says in haste, right now. One, that lamb was roasted in fire. That's Christ crucified. The unleavened bread, that's a holy life. I believe this gospel unto living a holy life by the power of God, but I believe it. I'm convicted of it. The gospel makes us holy in our character and conduct. It's a holy calling. It's a holy gospel. It's a holy God. But the third thing was the bitter herbs. Exodus 12. The bitter herbs. The sufferings of Christ are part of the gospel. And suffering for him is part of our joy. So let's enjoy it. He says, blessed are they who are persecuted. I didn't know the joy of suffering until I started suffering by faith in God's grace. Back when I was suffering in my own strength, I envied the wicked. But when I realized I had the power of God in the gospel to actually thrill our soul, it's there. He's got the power to give joy. He can do it in any situation, any persecution. He can make you rejoice that me and you have been counted worthy to suffer. Now we're not carrying our burden. We're casting our burden on the Lord. Oh Lord, you take care of us and provide our joy, even though we suffer for your name's sake. And the Apostle Paul said, I want the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed unto his death. I want to die just like him in obedience unto God. If it's in a bed of comfort, praise God. If it's in persecution, praise God. I want to die in obedience unto God, in submission. Don't you? The Apostle Paul had that heart, and me and you have the same heart if we're Christians. We've been born again with the same kind of heart. Let's go back into Matthew chapter 10, verse number 5. These 12, Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Now, these are specific instructions for a specific time, but me and you can take principles from these things. If the church has been sent out into all this world, but at this particular time, this small group of 12 had a mission, but they're to stick with their mission. And the principles are here for us now. He said, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. I want you to take instructions in order. And do not enter a city of the Samaritans. He's commanding them as to where they can go. He hasn't merely given us privileges. He's given us responsibility and duty. He hasn't merely given us the power to cast out demons as the gospel is preached. People are born again and they are saved and the devil is cast out. He hasn't merely given us the power to heal the sickness of a sin-sick soul and make people able to walk with God who are crippled. But he's given us the power and he's given us responsibility. He's given us the privileges and he's given us the duty. And so what I'm saying is he told them exactly how to do ministry. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's telling us exactly what to do. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. All these we do spiritually now. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. It's okay to take an offering now, but this specific mission, he's telling us what to do. The principle is what to do is what God says in our ministry and our life, and do not budge off of it. I'm so happy this group is Bible-based. It's not based on dreams. It's not based on visions. It's not based on opinions. It's not based on creeds. It's not based on confessions. It's not based on church constitutions. It's based on Bible. That's the only unity in the body of Christ, is Bible. And so he said, provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts. He told us later in Luke chapter number 22, if you don't have a sword, then you go buy one. Nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff, for a worker is worthy of his food. Into now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. Did you see what he's saying? He's saying, you do this exactly as I've told you. Don't change a thing. And me and you are to preach the Bible exactly as it is. The best thing about preaching is standing up and saying the Word of God. And I would be invisible if possible. If the gospel is really preached in power and people are really hearing, the preacher absolutely becomes invisible and they only hear from God. It was a man that was a part-time missionary, but he was an evangelist named Henry Mahan, excellent preacher of the gospel. And you can find his audio online because he's passed now. But he was preaching in Mexico. And I know him, and I know the man that was his translator, Brother Milton Howard, an excellent translator. And so Henry was preaching the gospel of God's grace. And an old ignorant woman, I mean ignorant, and she can't read, and she can't speak English. And she came up and she spoke unto Milton Howard, this translator, after the preaching. And she said, we didn't need you. I understood him clearly. And it's not that she can hear English, but the translation and the preaching were so smooth, and it was so much of the presence of God. He became invisible, and even though this man is speaking in a language that she can't hear, this man is speaking, and she's caught up in the presence of God, and she's just hearing from God. No translator is mingling. He's speaking, but she's hearing it from him. The thing I'm emphasizing is that God was there, and the men were made small. The men became invisible. Her ears were open. And we are not idolaters. As we hear from men, but we hear from God. We hear from God. If you hold off on that, please, sir. Just wait until after I'm done. I don't want to distract. If you have it here, it's fine. It's the sheep. It just hassles people. But as we hear from men, but we hear from God, We are obedient people. We preach and teach only what the Bible says. It doesn't care about anybody's opinion in our churches. I want to be a gracious human being. I want to be kind unto people. But we cannot budge off the gospel for anybody. Our mother, our father, our denomination, our sister, our brother, anybody else. We've got to be faithful unto the gospel because He's given us instruction with our lives. He's told us how to live. He's told us how to do this. He didn't merely give them the privilege of you can cast out demons. The privilege of I've called you unto myself. The power, He gave them the responsibility. You go do exactly as I say. Now that's preaching the whole counsel of God. I preach, we preach the responsibilities, the privileges, preach the duties, preach the forgiveness, preach the command to obey, preach election, preach repent and believe the gospel. We preach it all exactly as God says. And we can hide behind our pulpit and say, this is the word of God. It's not my word. I don't have the authority to change it. I'm just saying it as it is in the light of Christ. And you have to take that up with God. That's a preacher. He fears no man. He preaches Christ. Because he has to obey his heavenly Father. I'm under obligation, Paul says. I'm a debtor. He saved our soul. He commissioned us in the ministry. We cannot budge. And we must not flinch. We must preach the gospel and be faithful until we die. The apostle Paul, he told Timothy, they're going to kill me soon, Timothy. Right? You come and suffer until they kill you too. You join me in the sufferings. Don't flinch. Don't go backwards. Don't hide the gospel for anybody. If they don't like it, preach it in more love, but preach it. Until we die, we're preachers of the gospel. Verse number 12. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Verse 15. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. This gospel comes with a death sentence. If we don't believe it, we're going to everlasting hell. The destruction that will come upon us will be real. If we've heard the gospel these 3 days, thank you, sir. If we do not believe the gospel and put it into practice, we're going to everlasting damnation. Hell will be our punishment. And it will be better in hell for a homosexual who has never heard the gospel than for us who have seen and heard his mighty deeds and his wonders. The gospel comes with a warning attached. Repent or else. There's a death sentence attached. If we reject the gospel, there's no mercy from God. There's no satisfaction. There's no atonement but Christ Jesus. And if we reject His grace, we're going to hell when we die. In the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse number 7, let me quote you this. But when the king heard about it, he heard about people that were rejecting Christ and mistreating His servants. And you mistreat His servants if you don't believe our message. Because you're not giving us a cup of cold water. If you reject us who preach the gospel, you are rejecting God Himself. And when the king heard about it, he was furious. As much love as there is in God, there is anger outside of Christ. The wrath of God is on them. That flood showed the wrath of God and the love of God. That's who God is. It's the same in the cross of Christ. He that receives it is accepted. He that rejects it is damned. In Christ, in that cross, is all of our hope of salvation. He sent out His armies. He wasn't just angry. He sent out His armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. The gospel has a death sentence attached to those who don't believe it. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. So I want to urge you in these days, in the hearing of the gospel, don't hear only, but be a doer of this word. Me, when I first heard the gospel, as I told you on the first day, it was on Wednesday was the first day, or was it Tuesday? It was on Tuesday. I had to cast off everything I'd ever heard. I was wrong. I was a works preacher. I didn't know it. But when the gospel of grace came, I cast off everything else. Because I had to save my soul. He's the pearl of great price. And the evidence I cast it off is I came preaching something else. Entirely different. And I have not changed. And there's no going, there's nowhere to go back to. All those bridges are burned. There's no, what did Peter say? To whom shall we go? You've got the grace. You've got the words of everlasting life. I have no hope but the grace of God. God doing everything, choosing me and making me holy, redeeming me and keeping me till the end and bringing us into glorification in heaven. Our only hope is God. Can't take a step without Him spiritually. We need God. Let's hold on to this gospel. It's worth everything. It's worth everything. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 13. Verse number 45, verse number 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found this one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had. And he bought it. Let's suffer for Christ rather than turning back. Let's go into Matthew 10 again, please. Verse number 16. Behold, Matthew 10, 16. I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils. It can be in our churches right now. And scourge you in their synagogues. Because you might not be beaten or killed over the gospel in a Christian church, but you might be cast out and rejected. Verse 18, you will be brought before governors and kings for my sakes, as a testimony unto them and unto the Gentiles. And this context is not standing in front of the governor for a commendation. It's to be on trial for your life. That's how Paul went to go see the king, right? O King Agrippa, on trial for his life. He was not in a place of honor. He was in a chain. And he preached that gospel. God has revealed himself unto me, whom I preach. He's risen from the dead. Having obtained help from God, I just testify of what the scriptures were teaching, that Christ ought to die and be the first to rise from the dead. He gave testimony of Jesus Christ without fear, or the favor of man, or the fear of his life. And we do have our fears. In Acts chapter number 23, even Paul feared. He said, I'm a Pharisee, guys. But in our weakness, let us go unto God through Christ and be faithful. But look here. Verse number 19. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given unto you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. He said, don't worry about it. The Spirit of the living God will see us through. God will be faithful. He will not let us down. His persecuted children will not be forsaken. That's when he draws near. Oh, blessed are you that are persecuted. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. When? In the persecution. Because the Almighty God is with you, and it's the same way he had all the prophets treated, and he was with them too. They were able to die for his glory. And then he brought them into heaven when they died. Look at our reward. It's the book of Matthew 5, verse 11 and 12. Well, let's start at verse number 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, is over the gospel. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. They slander you, they accuse you, they persecute you and I, they hate us, they hate our gospel, and so they hate us, and they try to stamp us out, and they try to make us to leave churches because they don't want the gospel preached. They want their own self-righteous pride and their own immorality. And they don't want the gospel that gives grace to poor sinners and makes us whole. That's why they persecute us. They don't want God in his mercy. And so they'll have him in his wrath. But rejoice and be exceeding glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. Look up, child of God, to spiritual things that can't be seen. For so they persecuted the prophets. Don't look at the world. If the wife leaves you, don't look at the world. Look at Christ and what you get from God. Oh, please, you're hearing. Yes, sir. Look at Christ and what you get from God. Look at things that can't be seen. He's the pearl of great price. He's worth us forsaking everything. He's worth us giving up all that we have. Look what we obtain. Grace. Freedom from sin's bondage. Forgiveness. The Holy Spirit's joy and power. And the brother was talking with me this morning, the joy of service. If you look around here, there's not much that most people could rejoice in. But if you're with God, you can. If you're serving God, you can. If you're with the Holy Spirit's power, you can rejoice anywhere. Even in jail, suffering over the gospel, me and you can count it as a privilege. Don't give up. Don't hold back. Preach it in love. Everything you see in your Bible, preach it in love. Just skip down. Verse number 22. Let's keep going. Verse number 21 from Matthew 10. Now, is now brother will deliver a brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents, and cause them to be put to death. It happens in Muslim families, right? But it happens spiritually with persecution, even in Christian families. I've experienced it. And so have you, perhaps. Or you will. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he that endures unto the end, he will be saved. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't back up. The pearl of great price is worth it. Verse 23, when they persecute you in this city, it's okay to flee to another. For assuredly I say to you that you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. And so he came, you know, right behind him preaching. But spiritually, this is a message for us even now. Verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, to suffer just like him, our Lord Jesus, and a servant like his master, to suffer along with him, the fellowship of his sufferings. I want that too, Paul says. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more as they will they call those of his household? And me and you are unprofitable servants. I got so many errors and mistakes about me and such things. He was perfect and they hated him and picked fault with him. How much more so us? There are things that me and you are actually wrong about in our character, in our attitude. And so get used to it, he says. Is you being like your master? What an honor. To be like, is to be a disciple as my teacher and a servant as my master. Verse 26. Therefore do not fear them. For there is nothing covered. There's a day of judgment coming that will unveil all things. There is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Verse 27. Whatever I tell you in the dark, in your secret, in your study room, upon your knees, in your conscience, as you're preaching this word, speak in the light. Make it open. And broadcast it. And what you hear in the ear, that privilege of God speaking unto you, preach on the housetops. The Almighty God will. He will give us something to preach if we're going to preach it. If He knows I can entrust you with the secret things of the gospel, I can open the scriptures unto you, I can speak unto you with power inside your heart, I can give you this new life and the power of it and the joy, because you're going to go preach it everywhere you go, He'll give it. He'll speak in this ear. He'll speak in this heart. He'll speak secretly in He'll speak secretly from the Word of God. And He'll tell us all kinds of things. He'll open the mysteries if me and you are going to be obedient and preach it. If we're not going to preach it, He will shut it down. He will turn off His faucet. He will close off His light. He will quiet us if we're not going to preach it faithfully. Our brother Zechariah, in the book of Luke 1, he heard a mystery from God. And the angel came and told him. And he said, I don't believe that. How can that be? I'm an old man. And the angel said that you won't be able to talk until it happens. Then when he believed, after he saw John born, then he was able to speak again. If I hide the truth of the gospel, I won't be able to speak it and I won't feel it in my heart. But if I believe it enough to preach it, He'll give me more understanding with power. That's what me and you want. To commune with God in the secret things of the gospel. To get up off our knees having met with God. To have strength to live a holy life in fellowship with Him. But it comes with a cost. He gives it so we can proclaim it. If I ever stop preaching, He would shut it down. If I stop preaching faithfully, He would turn it off. But let's go. Let's stick our neck out. And we'll get more. What He tells us in secret, you say in the light and on the housetop. Verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body. That's the essence of this whole chapter. But cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And the first day is we talked about the good fear of the Lord that brings us unto Christ's grace to get more power to obey Him. That kind of fear will save our souls. Verse 29, is are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You're so cared for, protected, and loved. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Just value your soul as much as God does. Verse number 32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, Him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. True faith confesses Christ. Verse number 34. This is important. Do not think, especially if you are a young brother, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. Have you seen that in your Bibles? I did not come to bring peace but a sword. What is he saying? What's he saying?
people's action must be the message of the gospel.
Persecution must come. It must come. It's normal. It is everyday life. In its season, it comes. Is we have a saying back home, it's par. It is par for the course, which means if you're supposed to make a shot in only 8 shots, if you make it in 8 shots, that's just normal. It's just normal. He did not come for our families and everybody around us to love the gospel and love us too. He came to separate sheep from goats, even in the preaching of the gospel now. There will be a greater separation at the day of judgment. But there's a great separation that takes place right now when you and I are born again and we want to hear the true gospel and truth and we stand for it against all else. This notion that everybody's Christian is wrong. Everybody who believes the gospel and acts like it is a child of God. That's a Christian. Our gospel matters. And we can't just all get along. You understand what I'm saying? I will go preach anywhere. If it's on the edge of hell, and I'll preach anywhere. On the a hell hole. But preaching the gospel of God's grace and being unfaithful unto that gospel, they cannot go together. It's they mix like oil and water. There is no mixing. Our job is to go out into the world. Often it means we have to go into our own churches that we're at right now and preach the gospel that they've never heard in their life. What's going to happen? There's going to be some persecution. And it may be many people who receive it. Sir, I'm convinced. If the gospel is preached in the north as it is, people will hear it and receive it. I'm convinced. In the south, it's much harder. They love money. They only want money. And they gravitate towards that lust. And they want miracles. They love false gospel. But here, Equacoquean Baptist, you have a history of the gospel. It's still in your culture, how you behave conservatively. They will hear. Everywhere I've gone in the north, they've heard the gospel. And they want it more. They were asking their pastors, preach this. Preach it. There's going to be war. But it's just normal. It's just normal. And we got to choose sides. Who are we for? Is it Christ or is it our family? Is it Christ or is it ourselves? Is it Christ or is it our church? Is it Christ or something else? What do we love? Who do we love? Who comes first? And when the warfare comes, you go to God and say, help me. Help me be faithful with joy. Help me love them better. Help me pray for them. Help me weep over them, Lord. Help me beg you for their souls. Don't give up. Don't let me quit, Lord. Don't let me quit. Let me go forward. Let me preach this. It's got to be in our heart with power. God does that for us. God makes men preachers. He called them to himself. That's where the power's from. He gave them power. He'll give it our whole life. If we looked to him for it in the war, because the war is normal.
Lord.
I and you must be hated if we love God. And it's not just by the Muslims out there. Some of the nastiest, some of the most painful and the nastiest treatment I've received is by people who know the gospel, at least in their head. And I've had Muslims out there who helped me. It comes in the church house. He said, in the synagogues, they'll beat you. Verse number 35. Is we're almost done with this chapter and then I'll be finished. It'll be a time if you want to have some question answers. If not, you don't. Verse number 35. For I have come to set a man against his father. Oh, we value our earthly relationships here, but we can't value them too much. If a man with gray hair is wrong, he's wrong. He's got to stand for the gospel if he's a child of God above everybody else, even family. A daughter against her mother. A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be those of his own household. Don't be afraid if your wife turns against you over the gospel. Don't be afraid if your children don't want to hear. Don't be afraid if your father disowns you over the gospel. It's worth it, the pearl of great price. He's worth everything. And he demands everything. And he takes everything. We're his. We're his. We're obedient to him unto the death. That's a preacher. Verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He's not a disciple. He who loves son, his own offspring, or his daughter more than me is not worthy of me. If I love the issue of my bowels more than Christ, the offspring of my wife's womb or of my mother's womb more than Christ, I'm not worthy of Christ. I'm not a disciple of Christ. I'm a false follower and a hypocrite. And he who does not take his cross. Christ had a cross, but we got one too. He redeemed us from his cross and we suffer from our cross for him. And follow after me, he says, is not worthy of me. He's not a disciple. He is not a true follower. He's not a true Christian. He's not a true child of God. He won't sacrifice and suffer for the gospel. When persecution comes, he runs away. He changes his tune. He smiles and just tries to get along with the people instead of suffering for the gospel and saving their souls. He loves himself more than them. And he tries to use them to serve him instead of serving him. And he's going to hell when he dies. Even though the gospel is in his head. It's not in his mouth. It's not in his heart. It's not in his life. He who finds his life, he's going to lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake is going to find the joy and the peace. He's going to find power over sin. Verse number 40, he who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Let me close with this. There is a reward for serving Jesus. There's a reward in this life right now. It's called fellowship with God and communion in doing good. And the brothers and the saints who love you and the people that me and you get to help, there's a reward. But there's a reward that's coming in heaven. That's everlasting bliss. Heaven on top of heaven for all eternity. Oh, we'll have joy, peace. And we'll be rewarded when we're sat down with Him. And we're going to think about everything we suffered in this life. And we're going to say, thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. I was able to do something for you. Thank you, Lord, that you made me able to serve you. You gave me the grace that's in the gospel. I served you for real. I was true. Thank you, God. And we're going to cast our crowns at His feet and worship Him forever. The reward is huge. The pearl of great price. Don't let it slip. Sell everything you've got in gain. Amen. Our Father, as we pray unto you, and we hope that a couple more men will stand up also, Father, we pray unto you that you be thanked, that you be praised, that you be honored with our life. We love you because of what you did for us. You saved us by grace. And we owe you our life. And we thank you for making us able to give the commitment of following Christ and take up our cross and follow Him. This is our honor. This is our privilege. We thank you for it, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, Father. Amen. As I would like for two or three other men, if you will also be leading us in prayer. And it can either be now, or if we have some questions, it can be after questions. If we have no questions, we'll just have the prayer and we'll end. Is there any questions? No?